Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 697. The topic is Q&A, and the title is Muscle Fiber Types and Specific Training Methods. So we recently just started this new category of Q&A, question and answer, where we promoted people to send in questions. And this is in a way to promote people to send questions that they felt for various reasons, hesitant to send in before. So we'd gotten requests for people who wanted to send questions, but they weren't sure if the question was too specific or too general, or it was too short or too long of an expected answer. There were different kind of situations in which they were hesitant to ask, and therefore they weren't going to get the information that they really needed. So we wanted to kind of push that for people to try to go ahead and send these questions in, and we will find a way to get the answer to you. Let us handle the concepts of it being too long or too short or too specific or too broad. Just get your information that you need to live a healthier, happier life for you. We'll find a way to present it in a manner for everybody else, but we really don't want anyone missing out on an opportunity to live their best life. So thank you for everybody who's been sending in the questions. We went ahead and selected one that I thought would be very interesting and would make a nice, long, kind of good in-depth podcast that a lot of people would benefit from. The other questions we got, we just sent kind of specific answers to, and I'll collect those over time and maybe kind of put them together in a group podcast where we'll cover several questions, several topics in one podcast. So today's question was specific to muscle fiber types. And this is something that if people want to look at the nitty-gritty details of training, this does have some influence into how we would train. And it's kind of a cool topic for those who like the deeper details. So the questions we got was submitted by one listener, but it was a couple layers of questions. So I want to read through the questions, and then we'll take question by question and give the answers. So they asked, could you explain the difference between type 1, type 2A, and type 2B muscle fibers? So there are two types of muscle fibers, type 1 and type 2, but within type 2, there's actually an A and a B. So there are specific reasons as to why they just didn't name the muscle fiber types, you know, 1, 2, 3, but it does, I always jokingly say, it seems like one scientist said, you know, oh, we have two types, type A and B, and then someone goes, yeah, but there's this other type, and they go, oh, well, that's type 2B. So rather than 1, 2, 3, they went 1, 2A, 2B. Next question they have is one training method good for all three fiber types? Which is definitely helpful to know. Can we train in one way and hit all three fiber types? And then does each type need a specific training method? And they added that I'm pretty sure that fast twitch is explosive power, but I would like to learn more. Well, if you'd like to learn more, that's exactly what this podcast is for. So yay, and thank you for submitting the question. So let's look through this. Muscle fiber types. We said there are two fiber types. Type 2 has an A and a B. So type 1 is your like slow twitch, more endurance, long duration type muscle fiber types. And there are physiological differences, like type 1, since it has to do with more long duration, they're more oxygen dependent. So they're actually red due to like different like structures within the cell itself that they would need in order to process oxygen, like myoglobin and blah, blah, blah. A bunch of sciencey stuff. But in general, there are structural differences, and the structural differences from type 1 to type 2, the type 1 has the ability to convert oxygen to energy and activity, and it's specific to that fiber type. And these are more long duration, not really muscle fibers that have to deal with heavy weight loads. They're just going to be under tension for longer and kind of like a very minimal but highly active in terms of just being used a lot. So typically you'll find these more commonly in like postural muscles such as like the neck and the spine and things in which, you know, we have to move our head around and hold our head up all day. So it makes sense that there would be more endurance fiber types in the muscles that hold our head. Just kind of makes sense. Then type 2, the A and the B, The type A is kind of like a hybrid between the pure type 2 and the pure type A. So the type A, like we said, is a hybrid. And these are kind of like the endurance version of your strength fibers, but they're not that great of endurance as compared to type 1. And we're going to talk more about how to actually train these things, specific for what your results are. And whether you have, you know, a lot of endurance fibers or whether you have a lot of strength fibers, that is genetically based initially. But through training, you can kind of change your muscle fiber type. Now, there are debates on whether you can actually change from a pure type 1 to a pure type 2. But within type 2, type A, like we said, type 2A is kind of the strength endurance. Type 2B is the super explosive, very short burst, like want to rip a heavy weight off the floor for one rep kind of fibers. So type 2B is your explosive. Type 2A is your strength endurance. There is, you know, debate and research and blah, 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 that kind of believes that it's true that you can change over type 2B to type 2A or type 2A to type 2B. So you can become a little bit better at strength endurance if you want that than what your original genetic makeup would have been. And you can become a little bit better at short burst explosive activities with type 2B more so than what your genetics would have been. So if you train specifically to produce and utilize, well, if you train specifically to utilize type 2B, the explosive fibers, some of the type 2A will convert over to 2B. Whereas if you train specific for type 2A, some of the type 2B can convert over to 2A. So you can trade back and forth a little bit within type 2s, but there's very little agreement over whether you can train to change from type 2 to type A. I mean, type 1. So it's hard to change your strength fibers over to your endurance fibers. But you can change your strength fibers whether you want pure explosive strength or strength endurance. Hopefully I didn't lose you with all the numbers and letters there, so that's why I wish they would have just named them 1, 2, 3. But these are the proper names, so we want to learn them properly. And these ones, the type 2 A and B, are going to be more of like your heavy movers of the day, which are going to be kind of like the arms and the thighs. And again, this is all dependent on genetics and all muscle like type, like all muscles. So for example, the thighs, they're going to have a blend of type 1 and type 2s. And even within the 2s, they're going to have a blend of type A and type B. Everybody's genetical blend is different. But like we said, through training, you can train the body to use the type 2A more so like type 2B, and therefore you get an equivalent of almost like an additional type 2B fiber types. So you can produce more explosivity than what you're genetically given, and you can produce more strength endurance than what you're genetically given if you want to train that way, specific towards the end results that you'd want. Okay. So one of the ways that I used to think about this in school is, how do I remember which one is which? So type 1 being slow twitch, type 2 being the faster. So a kind of a concept that I used to think is, one person doing a task is slower than two people doing a task. Therefore, type 1 are the slow ones. So those are the endurance ones. Just a little kind of like tip there for remembering. And then, like we said, is how many of each fiber type you have is determined by genetics. And that actually is quite often why people tend to favor certain physical activities over others. So if a person has genetic high degree of type 1A endurance fibers, they're probably going to favor endurance running, marathons, swimming, long distance cycling, activities that have more of an endurance component, because they would have just felt like they were better at those. Then when they tried to do things that were explosive or strength based, they just weren't as good. Now, this might have been in comparison to other people around them, or it might have just been within how they felt. They just felt more naturally gifted and more comfortable towards one or the other. So if somebody was born with more type 2 fibers, they're going to be more like an explosive athlete. Can they still do endurance activities? Sure, they're just not going to be as genetically predetermined, like to be good at that, so they will have to work their butt off to get better. So no way, in no way is anybody limited from what activity they would want to be good at. They just are going to be at a better starting place for one versus the other if you were to look at pure genetics. Now, some people might be kind of a blend, 50-50, and then they get to pick. And it would be based on, like, environmental factors, like what their parents did, what their friends did, you know, what was available to them. So I grew up in rural Pennsylvania, and at my high school, we had basketball, football, or track. That was it. We didn't have baseball. We didn't have wrestling. So we had to basically pick from one of those three things. So that would have kind of predestined us at a young age to only be picking from that. Therefore, by the time we, you know, ever got exposure to any other sport, we might not have felt as good at that. So we were less likely to do those, even if they were actually genetically our better one. We just didn't have familiarity with it, and we didn't have as much training history to it. So there's a lot of kind of environment factors to go along with the genetic factors. The next question we looked at was, is one training method good for all three fiber types? This is the stuff that I absolutely love and will, like, geek out on. And there are different types of techniques and strategies you can use to better train a blend of the fibers rather than doing a whole bunch of exercises for one, a whole bunch of exercises for the other, and then having to, like, train, like, forever and ever and ever in the gym to target all these things. So some of the ways to make it more simple are to use methods that have blended stimulus. So therefore, you only have to maybe do one activity for everybody else is doing two or three to try to hit their fiber types. So there absolutely is a way to target more than one fiber type within even a single bout of effort, let alone a workout. So just some quick examples I'll throw out there is one example of a technique that we use is a high contrast drop set. And what this means is you might do an activity, I just did these on seated rows the other day myself, where I did a heavy cable seated row for between 4 to 6 reps. Immediately, once my form broke down, I couldn't move the thing anymore, like with good form, I decreased the weight significantly and cranked out 20 reps. So it was a kind of a pure explosive type effort, followed by what would feel more of like a strength endurance type effort. And then if you were to do multiple sets of that, you start now getting into the kind of type 1 response in regards to like an endurance type response. So there's a lot of nuances to all this, so hopefully I'm not going to lose everybody, but I just wanted to kind of present a couple ideas for everybody to get started with. And then if they wanted more information, you can definitely find more, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But a high contrast drop set is a great way to get both explosive strength and kind of strength endurance. So you could do an activity where you do, if you have a training partner or if you're on a machine that has like an easily changeable weight load. For example, if you have training partners, you could do a very heavy near maximal 1 rep max on a squat. And then all of a sudden your training partners take a plate off each side on the squat. And then you can go for a couple reps. So let's say just somebody tries 405 for a set of 3. Then they rack it. Their buddies pull a plate off on each side, so now they're down to 315. They unrack it, and they get a couple more reps. That then kind of pushes into the strength endurance due to the short rest period and due to the drop in weight, which allows you for increased reps. Like we said, the high contrast drop set where you do even bigger rep range change, where you might do a set of 3 followed by a set of 20. So those are single bout of efforts where you're on one exercise or one machine that you would then use kind of as a quick drop. Then you also have the idea of just using competing exercises with high contrast rep ranges in a superset. So for example, somebody could do a leg press and a deadlift, which I've done before. So I've done a 3 rep max on deadlifts, walked right over to a leg press and did 30 reps. That was freaking horrible, by the way, but it's fantastic, absolutely fantastic for stimulating multiple muscle fiber types in very shocking ways, which gets a large response from the body. So that's another technique, is just simply supersets with high contrast rep ranges and making sure that they're competing exercises, meaning they're using the same muscles. So the muscles you'd use in a deadlift are the same muscles you'd use in a leg press. So that's kind of the idea. And you could think of this as, I could do a 1 rep max on a bench press, or even a 2 or 3 rep max, then drop down to a set of push-ups. So just something that, like, you go from one exercise to another exercise, they both involve the same muscles, but one is super duper heavy and one's more endurance-based. That's a great way to tap into different fiber types within a kind of a singular kind of focused effort of the workout. So he said a single bout of effort would be the same exercise for high contrast drop set. A single, like, kind of unit of a workout would be a superset. You could use a high contrast superset. And it doesn't mean you have to do that for every exercise pairing in your workout. You could do, say you're training chest. You could do chest flies for a couple sets of 16 to 20 reps as kind of like a mind-muscle connection, kind of priming movement, really make sure your chest is fired up and ready to go, really good warm-up in the shoulders. You're now kind of mentally in tune with your chest and feeling it squeeze and being activated. You could then warm up to a 3 rep max on a bench press, followed by, like in our gym, we have our assisted dip machine right beside our bench press. So you could do a 3 rep max on bench press and then go right into 20 reps of assisted dips. So you would have a priming kind of warm up to where you're developing that mind muscle connection. You're getting the chest ready for the movements and the workout. Then you do a heavy bench press paired with high rep assisted dips. And then maybe you can move on to, you know, if you want to do more chest, you could do dumbbell flies. If you want to do more triceps, you could do tricep press downs. But that would be a way in which you would just kind of throw a superset of high contrast competing movements into the middle of the workout, but it doesn't have to be everything that you do in the workout. Then in a single workout, how you can kind of combine all muscle fiber types. And we've talked about this in past podcasts on just how we believe you should structure every single workout. You should have some type of movement prep, which involves kind of stretching and preparing the body. It often involves a lot of core work, postural work, hip work, just getting the body ready, getting some sweat going, addressing small structural weaknesses that are holding back the big movements. So there's a movement prep to everything. That's going to start working on igniting and getting the strength fibers to start to fire. They might not be maximally used yet, but they're going to start to fire, and the brain's going to start to be aware of them. It does, when you do it appropriately in kind of like a circuit fashion, it does get into the muscular endurance and the cardiovascular endurance. You then would move into an explosive effort, maybe do box jumps. And then you would do a strength effort, such as like conventional deadlifts, which are great to follow right after box jumps. You would then do muscle damage work, which might be, say, glutes, hamstrings, and quads, or if you're doing like a lower body kind of deadlift-based workout. And then you do muscle endurance cardio, which would be tire flips and sled drags. So that would be an example of a workout where the movement prep, you might do, you know, scapular retractions followed by an activated plank, followed by a plank on the elbow like hip dips. So that's a way to work your posture, your core, and your hip mobility and hip structures, and even spinal stabilizers by having to do the hip dip movement. Then, like we said, box jumps, conventional deadlift. You could do hamstring curls supersetted with leg extensions. And you could pair that with, you know, barbell hip thrust. We have a glute drive by Nautilus in our gym, which all three of those things are right beside each other. So you could do a circuit of that. You could even throw in pull-ups and pull-downs if you wanted to work the lats since you're doing deadlifts. Then you would do tire flips and sled drags. It's a great workout. You can do all of that in an hour. It covers all of the muscle fiber types. So that would be a freaking great combination, and I think something that everybody would enjoy as a fun way to train. So definitely something I think to check out if you would like to, is trying those types of workouts and those types of techniques. Now, the other thing we want to think about is what we would want to use in regards to the methods in our workout. We do need to make sure they're specific to what our desired results or desired outcome is. If we're a power lifter, I do want to train some endurance so I have good recovery between workouts and I'm not so damn winded and fat and out of shape I can't make it through my first, like, my workout. So I want to have some degree of endurance. But should I start chasing down endurance at the expense of my strength training and kind of muscle manipulation assistance-based training? No. If my sport is strength, I want to make sure I spend most of my time on strength stuff. If your sport is endurance, Do you need to train your type 2B fibers, your strength fibers, your explosive fibers? Yes, absolutely you do. 1,000,000% you do. But it shouldn't make up a bulk or even half of your training if you considered the overall amount of training you do combining both in the gym training and sport-specific training. So I've trained triathlons, like triathletes, people who did 100-mile races, endurance, crazy endurance people. And we did a lot of strength-based training, but it might only be twice a week, 30 minutes, because that's all they really needed. And the rest of the week, they spent doing their endurance-based activities. So does an endurance athlete need to train type 2B fibers? Hell yes. But it shouldn't make up a majority of the training. It shouldn't even compete with the training they need to do for their sport. Likewise, should a powerlifter do type 1 training? Hell yes, abso-freaking-lutely. You want to do it enough that you can recover well between workouts and make it through your own workouts while having enough endurance during the workout to be able to produce, you know, maximum explosivity and maximum effort during the movements you want to do. So there is a need for everyone to do everything, but you need to keep your percentages based on what you feel is best for your overall goal. Now, that can be very difficult, because sometimes it's hard for us to identify weaknesses. We're going to cover that here in a second. But first of all, I want to just also add that for people who aren't purely one or the other, they're not purely an endurance athlete or purely a power, strength-based athlete. They just want to be strong. They want to have great muscle shape, pretty good definition. They want to look like they work out. They want to look good. You do need to train all three fiber types, but you also need to train them based on your genetic makeup, meaning that you have to train them based on what your deficits are. If you're more at a deficit of strength, like 2B fibers, then you need to spend more time on 2B fibers. So if you look, if we have type 1, type 2A, and type 2B, if I'd make all of my training being just a third of each, that's not right. I need to make sure that I'm focusing more on whichever of the three I lack the most of. So it shouldn't be a third, a third, a third. It should be whatever the percentages are that's best for you. So this is what we do with our clients, is my in-person clients and my online clients. We base their training, their techniques within a single workout, their overall program within like a month course, like a four-week course. We manipulate it based on what their needs are, is what gets most of our attention. So if they need more type 2B, like strength explosive stuff, we do more jumps, we do more plyometrics, we do more banded activities, more isometrics. We do compensatory acceleration training, which is just trying to move a weight as fast as you freaking can, like you're trying to like rip the bar or rip the weight apart. So you would do heavy weight, low reps, 1 to 3 reps, for example. But the idea of the rep range is just whatever they could do for maximal stimulus, maximal performance. But those are some things that we do. If we're looking for strength and explosivity, is jumps, plyometrics, bands, isometrics, and CAT training, compensatory acceleration training. If you're looking for type 2A, that's more like bodybuilding stuff, aesthetic athlete type stuff, where they're doing, you know, roughly like 10 to 30, 10 to 40 seconds of time under tension, multiple sets of even type 2B work can translate over to type 2A fibers, because if you're trying to do explosive effort over and over and over again, you're going to need the type 2A to help out. So example of this is I work with a Major League Baseball pitcher, and one of our workouts recently was camera bar step-ups for 6 reps on each leg, followed by dumbbell single leg deadlifts. Not stiff leg deadlifts, but actually on the regular deadlift on a single leg. It's actually freaking hard as hell. He did 6 reps per leg, and then we did single leg jumps onto a box for distance, and those were 3 reps per leg. So it was 6 reps, 6 reps, and 3 reps, which is a very low rep range for typical movements, but that helped us develop our explosiveness that he needs for explosive pitching. But we also want him to be able to explosively pitch for multiple innings, so therefore we're doing that stuff as circuits to get into strength endurance. And the overall workload, as you add that up over a course of 40 minutes to an hour, it does create a cardiovascular stimulus, and it does start to require the endurance fibers to kick in a little bit extra work than what they're used to, so you do get those to kind of like fire up and get involved as well. But we know that sets of 6, 6, 6, and 3, it helps him in the percentages that he needs the most. He needs mostly type 2 training with some type 1. That's exactly what that circuit gave him. That's exactly why we prescribe it to him. So you need to find the ways in which to stress yourself correctly based on what your goals and your needs are. So for example, for high endurance, the type 1 fibers, you just do high time and retention stuff. Can you do, you know, cable chest flies for 3 minutes straight? It's going to get you a hell of a lot of endurance on your chest. So we've even done 1 minute push-up where you take 30 seconds to go down, 30 seconds to come up for just a single rep. That's awful, by the way. It's a fantastic strategy. We also do long duration activities, such as like we carry sandbags for long durations. We drag sleds for long durations. I've carried our yoke for over a mile before, which was awful and a horrible idea, but it was a fantastic training stimulus. So we have done high rep, high endurance type things, done sets of 100 on the leg press. There's just so many ways in which you can train type 1 fibers and type 2 fibers. There's so many varieties of ways. So hopefully what I've named just in this podcast alone is enough to spark some ideas and get you somewhere to start. So the take-home lessons we have for this podcast is within the realm of what you want to achieve, what you want your results to be, spend more time doing the things you're not good at. So if you're explosive, but you don't have really good technique, so you're explosive and you can move a shit ton of weight if you get the groove right, but you don't always get the groove right. Well, slow yourself down and focus on technique. Being more explosive isn't helping because that's not what's holding you back. Consistency and technique is what's holding you back. If you have great technique, but you're slow as dirt, well, then let that technique go a little bit and work on speed work. Do some of that like the explosive stuff that we said, like jumps, plyometrics, bands, isometrics, CAT training, compensatory acceleration training. Try bench pressing like 70% of your max for 5 reps as fast as you can freaking do 5 reps. Like somebody said, if you can do 5 reps in 1 second, I'll give you $1 million. That's going to build a lot of explosivity. It's going to hurt like hell because you're probably not used to moving your joints that way. But it's a good hurt. It's good stress. But that's an idea. It's if we are one thing, but we're not another, spend the time doing the thing you suck at because it's going to help everything overall. You want to find what your weakest link is because your strongest links will never be their strongest if there is a weak link present. Now, how do you do that? It's really hard to do on your own. But if you have a general program that you follow and there are things that you find within that program that you don't like because you're like, crap, I know that's good for me, but I'm not really good at it. Bingo. Spend more time doing that. Okay. Whenever you get that feeling that says, yeah, I know this is good for me, but I'm not good at it, that is what you want to spend more time on. Absolutely. Then we do offer services because people want to know how to get the most out of their efforts. If they're going to work out every day for the rest of their life, they damn sure want to get the most out of it. So we offer services to help that, where we do video reviews, we do consultations based on training programs. So we'll talk to you and help identify what you need to focus on. So that way, you know for the rest of your freaking life what's the most important thing for you to focus on. So a little bit of an investment now can save you a lot of wasted effort in the future. We do have those services available. They're available on our website at www.brutalirongym.com. Through monthly programming, we have online client work, a whole bunch of stuff, video reviews, consultations, everything. You can also email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and we'll explain more about how we can find a service specific for your needs. But hopefully, this podcast answered that question for the person, the listener. Thank you for sending it in. Hopefully, for everybody else, it had a lot of cool information. I know this was a little bit of a longer one, but I hope it was fun. I hope it was really enjoyable. When I post this podcast, I will also be sharing another post on our social media channels, such as Instagram. There we go. Facebook and Twitter, and we'll be kind of writing down some of the workout examples we wrote. I'll include those in those posts. So if you listen to our podcast, but you do not follow us on social media, please do so. You're missing out on an enormous amount of information. We post every single day on social media, multiple times. So if you like our podcast at all, you're definitely going to like what we present on our social media. So please find us and please follow us. Also like the information if you do. It kind of helps me know if I want to produce more of that stuff. But we do have the social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. Like I said, if you want any help on how to identify your weaknesses to make sure you're training your best for your specific needs, reach out to us through our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com or check out our website at www.brutalirongym.com. We are always here to help. We're happy to help. And we just thank you very, very much for participating in the podcast. And I hope that this podcast has helped you live a healthier and happier life. I really, truly want that to be the case for everybody, everyone who listens. I want you to get something out of this that makes you happier, that makes you healthier, that makes this life be more of the one that you want it to be. Cool. Now, if you do think this podcast is helpful, please, 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 please share it. Please share it. You can share it with family, friends, you can share it on social media, text message, email, whatever. If you just think like, man, this podcast would help so-and-so, send it to so-and-so. Let so-and-so know. So that way they can live a healthier, happier life too. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, like we said with these Q&A topics, is please send in questions. We truly want this podcast to be for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. And the more you can tell us that, the better. So our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. You can let us know what you want to know about. As always, I hope this was helpful. And thank you for listening.